afternoon. Welcome. My name is Erica Flynn Walker, and this is the Raymond Hall Show, where we have a different conversation. Today, I like to say, everyone just take a long, deep breath. Thank you. Because what we need to do is realize that we're blessed and we're grateful to be here right now in this climate that we're in. But again, I just like to say thank you. Welcome to the Raymond Hall Show. You can follow us at theraymondhallshow.com on Instagram, Twitter, or Facebook for keeping up with us. Today, I'd like to invite you to meet a young lady. She's a very lovely young lady. Her name is Milan Murphy. She's a graduate of Howard University, where she holds a degree in film and a minor in English. Okay, so she is a remarkable young lady, and she is here as a millennial representing to give us her viewpoint and her take on today's climate that we're in. Welcome, Malika.
Thank you. Thank you, Ms. Walker. Thank you guys for having me. I'm very excited to be here on the Raymond Hall Show. For my generation.
Yes.
The millennials. The controversial millennials.
That's what they're known as, the controversial millennials. So what I like to do is invite her to read something that she brought to the Raymond Hall Show that she thought would be interesting for all of us to hear. So right now, take a listen to Milan Murphy.
All right, guys. So I have a quote from the late, great Dr. Martin Luther King Jr., and it reads, "I have almost reached the regrettable conclusion that the Negro's great stumbling block in the stride towards freedom is not the white citizen's counselor or the Ku Klux Klanner, but the white moderate who is more devoted to order than to justice, who prefers a negative peace, which is the absence of tension, to a positive peace, which is the presence of justice."
Wow. That's really, really heavy. You know what? I need an encore on that.
Okay.
Milan Murphy, just take your time with it and really let us feel like we need to feel it.
Okay. So it reads, "I have almost reached the regrettable conclusion that the Negro's great stumbling block in the stride towards freedom is not the white citizen's counselor or the Ku Klux Klanner, but the white moderate who is more devoted to order than to justice, who prefers a negative peace, which is the absence of tension, to a positive peace, which is the presence of justice." And that's from Dr. Martin Luther King Jr.
Okay, everyone. So what I like to say is that was really, really heartfelt. And we appreciate her for bringing that to us, to our attention, because Martin Luther King Jr. right now, you know, what would he say if he was here? Because he could still be alive right now if he had not been assassinated. And so what do you think, what would he say to us right now, Milan?
I think that Dr. King would, you know, of course, encourage us all to unite in love.
Yes, encourage us to unite in love.
And to stand up in love. But I think that, like this quote says, this is a time where I think you either on the right side of right or the wrong side of wrong. I don't think that there's anything right about neo-Nazism, white supremacy, believing that you are superior to other human beings, believing that you deserve more than somebody simply because of your race. And I think that this is a time where you really get to clearly state where you stand. And I think this is a time for people to stand up for people who can't necessarily stand up for themselves or who have been
marginalized
and out here fighting and saying these things for years. This is time for white people to tell their relatives or their racist colleagues or peers, you know, this isn't right. And I think that that's what time it is right now.
Okay, well, you know what? I do concur with Milan when she says that it's time for each and every one of us to take a look at the man or the woman in the mirror, like Michael Jackson said, and decide what we're going to do to move forward to be unified. Because at the end of the day, nobody wants to have anxiety. Nobody wants to be stressed out. Nobody wants to be mistreated. And we've already expressed that over and over and over again.
Right. This is a long fight.
It's a very long fight.
How many years of oppression for black people and people of color?
The same old story. So what here at the Raymond Hall Show is an internet-based weekly broadcast that discusses the importance of service that has brought us far and service that must continue beyond what we see. Our banner, Service, A Different Conversation, speaks to both the mission and the vision of the Raymond Hall Show broadcast. Our broadcast and our mission is to showcase conversations of service, like people of Milan Murphy and the people at Healthy African American Families, Felicia and Morris Media, and just to name a few of the people that provide service for all of us to move forward together. Mm-hmm. And so serving people through conversations in service, people serving is the foundation of which future communities stand and enjoy opportunities and the liberties not known or available to those whom service is given. So again, I can say right now is, you know, we need another deep breath. We need to really, really just, because the anxiety level and mm-hmm. the tension and the stress right now is just, mm-hmm. is too much. What do you think about that? How do you feel right now, Milan?
Honestly, I feel kind of numb.
Oh, my God.
When Trump won the presidency, a part of me died, that hopeful part.
Oh, my goodness, Milan, I'm so sorry.
To be honest, it was like, seriously, like, the fact is that, I don't know if you guys remember the Central Park Five, but those are the five black boys that were accused of raping.
Yes, he ran an article and did several things.
Yeah, he ran a campaign to get them to get the death penalty,
yes,
and they were all innocent.
Yes, he did.
Trump's father was arrested at a Ku Klux Klan rally in the 1920s. So it's like, this is like, I'm not surprised at what's happening because this is who he is fundamentally. It was heartbreaking that this country really would allow somebody like that to be in office and to represent us as a people, especially after our 44th president and what that represented. And that polar opposite, that backlash.
Which we had never had that experience before. We had never had an African-American president sit in that position in our country since we've known it to be in existence. I mean, you know, so we haven't had that. Every other president has been of Caucasian descent.
Right. And they've implemented all types racist policies and policies that have oppressed not just black people, but people of color, poor people. You know, they've been classes, not every president, but, you know, politics is just
politics.
Game.
That's what it is. So it's really, really a touchy subject, politics.
Right.
So what we understand is that although it's a touchy subject, we find ourselves in the midst of it. So mm-hmm. what we want to do is continue to try to stay positive throughout our walk in this political climate that we're in. Well, what I like to say right now is thank you for listening so far. Thank you for being here, Milan Murphy.
No,
we're going to take a short studio break, and we'd love for you to come back to listen to us at the Raymond Hall Show on Facebook, Twitter, or Instagram. We'll be right back.
Well, good afternoon, and thank you for your continued support. This is the Raymond Hall Show, and I'm here with Erica Flynn Walker and Miss Milan Murphy of Healthy African American Families, too.
Yep.
So, again, I know you've been welcome, but welcome again.
Welcome back.
And we are touching on a subject that's really, really tough to deal with.
Yes, we are.
We're dealing with the bigotry and racism, and as I had shared with Mrs. Walker, that I thought this was something that we had kind of gotten a handle on from the 60s and the 70s because a lot of people paid a lot of price. We're going to have a couple of guests with us today. We have on the line now with us Jackie DuPont Walker, and she's the Director of Lay Activities for the 5th District of the AME Church. Jackie, are you there?
I am here. here, but I need to let you know, how are you, Brother Raymond? I'm Director of Lay Activities for the Southern California Conference.
Ah, I keep getting that twisted,
Southern
huh?
California. Good afternoon.
Okay.
Good afternoon.
Yeah, so we are so honored to have you here. Jack has been very supportive of the show and what we do here, and I reached out when this thing happened because we need to know when it comes to social activities,
yes,
where the body of Christ, where the church stands. Mm-hmm. So if you would, Jackie, would you give us a little bit of more about what you do and where the church, or your understanding of what the church is discussing, where they are with this?
Are we talking about Charlottesville?
Yes, we are. I'm sorry.
Okay, no problem. I'm really glad to be here. It's one of those situations that, as a child of the civil rights movement of the 1950s, I had hoped we would not be back here again in my lifetime.
Correct.
I do know that every generation has to be convinced anew, and that is not my word of wisdom. That comes from Coretta Scott King.
Yep. Mm-hmm.
And so it gives me the understanding that I've been fortunate enough to live long enough to have a new generation to address, and that's what we have to do.
Okay.
I do serve as Director of Lay Activities of the Lay Organization, but my activism work comes from being the Director of Social Action for the AME Church International.
Mm-hmm.
And it is the AME Church, the African Methodist Episcopal Church, was founded with the understanding that there must be a voice of moral reasoning to speak to the issues of the day for the people who are voiceless and those for whom a spokesperson is needed.
Mm.
In the process, we try to work in partnership. We try to invite others into the conversation. And we wish to be invited in when there is a conversation of moral persuasion that needs to happen. And so as Director of Lay Activity, Director of the Social Action Commission, it is our task to lift the issues that are important in the communities, neighborhood, cities, states, countries, and continents where African Methodism is called to serve. We are on 5 continents. And in 41 countries on this globe. And so the issues are sometimes global, like climate change, and unfortunately the issues of discrimination based upon color and condition in life. For us, the Council of Bishops has spoken out resoundingly and early about the incidents in Charlottesville, what they mean historically, which is a recreation of a period of hate, and the commitment that we have not to be silent and to tolerate this happening again. In addition to the Council of Bishops speaking out, the Commission on Social Action is activating all of its tools so that congregations can look amongst their own communities to see where these symbols of hate are peeking their little heads. It is not just Charlottesville.
Correct.
The people who went to Charlottesville came from all over this country. And as we are learning in these days that the media is putting information out, this is really a throwback to 1924 and 1925.
Right.
When the Klan was attempting to be a key player in mainstream politics.
Mm-hmm.
And so that history informs us, but our history as African Methodists informs us also, because one of the key tenets and undergirdings of the African Methodist Episcopal Church is that everyone has a right to vote if they're eligible, and mm-hmm. that we should make sure that every eligible voter has the ability to vote.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. We're in an era where that might not happen.
Right. So we're going back then past the tyranny of the 50s of my
right, going
era.
All the way back to 1920s.
Yes. Yeah, so that goes directly to something that you were talking about, the appointment to all of these judicial appointments
mm-hmm.
that's coming up. That because one of the things that struck me was just the insensitiveness
of it.
Of what was coming out of 1600. So Now, we've heard from the bishops and we've heard from the council. What is the message that you would like for everyone to take back as a message of community? I was really impressed when Miss Heather Mother spoke, and she spoke so passionately and so clearly about each person having a takeaway.
Right. And
to look at something.
Right.
So what is the takeaway that you would like
for
us to have coming from you?
Well, I mean, we stand in the legacy of people of African descent who clearly understood that every person has a responsibility. And we stand in a church that started with a stand.
Correct.
And so we have a responsibility every day, not just Charlottesville.
Every day.
Every day.
Yes.
To make a difference wherever we find ourselves. We have an obligation to tell the story of what has happened in the past and to be ready and available to stand, even if we have to stand alone.
Okay.
And so for us, when we are in our place of work, when we are in places where we see things that are just not right, we have to take a stand.
That's correct.
And most people will turn their heads and say, well, it's not my business, but it's awful. It is now time, because there are people now who feel entitled to kill other people. And they feel entitled to maim and injure other people.
That's exactly
And that must be stopped. Mm-hmm.
Right. And that's exactly what Ms. Murphy, did you want to say something, Ms. Murphy?
Yeah, I was just saying that I really think this is a time for people that are not the marginalized groups, for our white counterparts, our white brothers and sisters, to stand up on the side of right. There's nothing right about bigotry, hatred, neo-Nazism.
Right.
The principles on which white supremacy stands, it's just the right or wrong. And I think that right now we're in a time where you get to choose your side and choose what side you're going to be on. Are you going to be on the side of the light? Or are you going to be on the side of the wrong, you know? And it's time for good people, because I think there's more good people than bad people.
Right, right, right. So do I. Mm-hmm. I believe that.
I do believe that. And I think that it's time for good people to stand up and stand up for each other and, you know, hold hands and say, we're not going to let you do this and take us back and regress. Of course, I mean, I would argue that things haven't changed that much as far as being a post-racial society. Yes, things have changed. We have made strides, but it's always been kind of the racist undertones.
Right.
But for us to regress like this, I think it's time for the people to take a stand.
To stand.
And, you know, all power to the people, because, you know, the people got all the power. And I think that we need to be emboldened,
right,
the
right,
word
right,
they keep
right.
using, right?
Mm-hmm,
mm-hmm, we mm-hmm. need to be emboldened in light and get out on the front lines and say, no, we're going to all stand together. You know, or if our white counterparts know that they won't take them to jail, y'all stand in front of the line and protect us.
Right, right.
You know, because they're going to hit us and they're going to take us to jail and, you know, whatever. So it's
well, one of the things that was definitely, to me, a difference between the early 60s when I was involved as a child. And I've been involved ever since. I mean,
right.
My mother got me involved.
Right, right.
And you knew something was really, really wrong.
Mm-hmm.
And from that, you just gained strength.
Right.
But it was a family affair. It wasn't a single thing. But what stood with me this time is that there were a number of other people other than just African Americans there.
Mm-hmm.
There were a number of whites and Asians and Hispanics and things there.
Where are you speaking of now?
When Derek Clark's
Charlottesville.
Oh, right,
uh-huh,
right,
yes.
right, 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 right.
It was just a number of people there.
Right.
And the Klan, the Nazis, I don't want to say the national. I don't want to put national in there anywhere, because they are anything other than something related to the nation.
Mm-hmm.
They didn't care. Their message wasn't anything about any one particular people. It was about a whole group of people.
Exactly.
But the center of it was that we are who we are. Mm-hmm. So I really want to thank you, Jackie, for taking the time to speak with us and coming on and giving us
But let me say this. We work with and coalesce with almost every major denomination.
Okay. Mm-hmm.
And so whether it's the Lutheran church that is still reeling from being the church of the Charleston killer, or
right.
whether it's the Presbyterian church that is still reeling from being the church of the mayor in Missouri, the town of Missouri, I'm losing that name right now, I can't think of it,
mm-hmm.
Or whether it's the Methodist church or the Episcopal church, or everyone is now dealing with their conscience about how we have been not as assertive about something we saw coming.
Right.
So not only individuals called, but we're called into communities. So here in your listening audience, if you're within a stone's throw of another church, especially if people look differently, it's important for us to begin to deal with the differences to find the similarities, because that's a part of what fuels us, that people believe there is something objectionable and very different. And the more we isolate ourselves, the easier it is for people who want to believe that to believe it. It helps us to come together so that a Sunday morning is not the most segregated hour in the United States. And so, yes, we are called as people of faith to come together, but we are also called, this is probably our greatest evangelism, to really tell the story of freedom and how it relates to our faith walk. And so thank
yeah.
you for letting me come in. And we look forward and invite anyone to join with us and to try to help us make this difference, because we, as you just said, there are more people who want to do the right thing than want to do the wrong thing.
Right.
And so
now, how do people contact you? How do they contact your organization? Let's say they want to get involved, or do they just go through their local house of worship?
We have a website for social action, www.ame-sac.org, and they may also contact me by email at jdupontwalker@gmail.com.
Okay.
jdupontwalker @gmail.com. And we are very, very interested in working together and creating real relationships, not just meetings where we talk, but where people get to know each other at a level of trust that they can actually talk about disagreements and misunderstandings.
Exactly.
Okay.
Right.
Well,
together.
Thank you so very
you
much.
So much.
We're going to, we have another guest that we're going to be talking with. And pay attention, like Miss Heather's mother says, she said everybody needs to pay attention. This is one of those moments that we need to pay attention.
It is, absolutely.
And like Miss Murphy said,
and stand up.
And stand up.
We and need get involved.
And get involved. Right.
Local
right.
politics,
this is the time.
We need to vote.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah.
we need to vote.
Okay, so we
absolutely.
Thank you very much.
Thank you so much.
Thank you so
okay.
much for coming.
Bye-bye.
We really appreciate you giving
bye-bye.
Us your time.
Bye-bye.
Have
okay.
a good day.
Bye-bye.
All right. So,
Ms. Jackie DuPont Walker of the AME Church, where she can be reached at www.ame.sac.org, or Ms. J. DuPont, DuPont Walker, @gmail.com, where you can get in contact with her, where she has her call to action, and it is to let's come together and unite and sit down at the table and agree, maybe sometimes to disagree, but we're at the table together to unify mm-hmm. each other.
Yeah. Well, the AME Church is the oldest
church. Yes,
African American church in here, and it I've been in AME all my life, and it started from a social action. You mm-hmm. you can take our money, but we got to go sit in the balcony. We couldn't sit on the floor with the rest of the congregation.
But when was this? In the AME Church?
This is how the AME Church started. When you want to see the history of the AME, it's
wow.
called Mother Bethel.
Mother Bethel.
Yeah, and you go to Philadelphia. That's where Mother Bethel is. That's where the first church is.
Okay.
And you can see all of the things, and you can see just how the church actually got started and those people that started it. So social action is a part of history. There are several things that we were talking about today. I think that we were talking about that. And also, I wanted to hear about the response.
Right.
What did people think of the response from the White House?
Right.
I mean, there were some things that was quite it's hard to shock me, but there were some things that caught me off guard. To know that this organization was so organized that they had uniformity. They had uniforms that looked like the police. They had helmets and stuff.
Right.
And then they
and
can...
No masks.
They didn't have masks.
They weren't covering their faces at all.
They just showed up and then were allowed to disperse back into the fabric of the nation.
They went to that district and said, and they petitioned. They did. They went there and they petitioned and said, I want to have a meeting. These are the things that are going to happen in the meeting. These are the people that are going to be in the meeting. They had to have that document.
What they got was a permit.
Exactly. That's what they got.
They got a permit to have a gathering and a parade.
Right.
That's fine. Mm-hmm. That's okay. That's not what I'm talking about.
But they had to get that in order to be there. That's the point.
Mm-hmm. Well, but true. That's true. But my point is, in this day and time, that you have an organization that's on the fringes where people are declaring it a terrorist organization, and law enforcement, Department of Justice and everything said, we have to investigate. And 1600 Pennsylvania Avenue is saying there were some good people and bad people on both sides.
Right.
You have an organization that has equipped themselves to do terror. You see what I'm saying? This wasn't just we want a permit to march.
Right, but they
This was a coming out party.
Right, right, right. And, you know, I did, I went to, which you can find anything on the internet. This internet social media world that we live in this day and age that you new millennials
But see, and I want to come back to that because I think that's going to be the trick and why it's going to be different this time around.
Good. And see, that's a very good point because do you know that that person who was the organizer of that event, that was an event, and he organized it, and he sent out, and he went and stood in front of the people and said, this is what I want to do. It's all right, written down. They know. So that's the old key word. They already know what's going on.
But well, see, I think, too, the thing now, like with Twitter, like Twitter is the new journalism, in my opinion,
right.
because I saw a whole bunch of tweets showing the people that were there marching, and they were saying, we need to identify these people, retweet.
Right.
And people were retweeting and retweeting. A lot of people lost their jobs that were at that rally. The Tiki Torch Company came out, and they made a statement saying, we don't support bigotry,
we don't support racism. That's what, that's
so it's the social pressure. Before, it was the news.
It was the news, right. But now you have a whole another medium.
Right, right, right. Well, I saw that, and I was so happy that people were taking action in various ways.
They were.
They put up a website to actually out them, put their pictures up.
Yes, yes. If you see any of these people.
Yeah, a father came out and denounced his son about, I didn't know my son was like that, and son, your behavior is just unacceptable.
It's unacceptable.
Okay, but the message... We have someone in 16. I've gotten to the point where I don't even say president. I'm like somebody else, 45. So, you know, President Barack Obama was 44, so you 45.
Right. Right?
So
I'm number 45. Let's give you a number 45.
Yeah, 45. So the office of the presidency, being a veteran and have served in that area, the office of the presidency needs to be respected at all times.
At all times.
Okay.
Absolutely.
But we're talking about 45.
Right.
Okay. So with that said, you emboldened people while you were running, and that's where all of this stuff started. You didn't shut it down when you was running and African Americans getting assaulted. For the flag we now hold on was a black man. Hey, and we are back. We are back. This is Raymond Hall, and you're viewing and listening to the Raymond Hall Show. We have a Skype vest, Miss Letitia, and you know the Raymond Hall Show is all about a different conversation. So we have invited her to have her give her a comment or question. So she's going to give us a comment or question, and she's going to take the response off line. Miss Letitia, it's nice to have you through Skype on the Raymond Hall Show.
Thank you, Letitia, for coming.
Now, give us your comment.
We want you to say, we would like for you to restate your comment that you made earlier. And remember, we're on a tight schedule right now.
Yes, basically what I I think we should focus on more important things that are happening in America. And I think that it's just opening up sore wounds. The Civil War is over, and I don't think that we should take down those monuments. I think we should focus on other things that are more important.
Like what? What would be the first thing?
Well,
that continue to focus on having more jobs. I think we need to focus on what they're going to do about Obamacare. I think that we need to just focus on things that are more important other than tearing down the monuments and opening up sore wounds. We need to move forward.
Okay. Well, we really do want to thank you. We are operating on a short period. We want to thank you very much, and we will comment on it while you're offline. So thanks
okay,
for calling.
Okay, thank you. I'll call you back, girl.
So, Ms. Murphy, what do you think? What comments do
Bye,
you
girl.
Have about Letitia, what she just said? What are your comments?
I disagree.
Okay.
All right. Disagree.
I don't think that we need to hold up people that represent our dark history, especially as Black people,
right.
The people that were slave owners who represent that. I think that that can be remembered because it's a part of our history, so we put it in a museum.
Right.
We don't put it on a platform.
Right, right.
And Don Lemon said something really good the other night when he was saying, how do you feel as a Black child going into a school and seeing Robert E. Lee? What does that do to you psychologically?
Right.
Seeing that's putting an insidious message that you're lower in this country, that you don't matter, and we raised that dark history up.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And I don't think I think we can remove it. I think
okay.
It's time to
get
new things in place.
Well, I'm in complete agreement with you. This is the Raymond Hall Show.
Yes.
And here's what I think.
Okay.
Here's what I know.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
I was born and raised in a time when those symbols were almost sacred to them.
Mm-hmm.
In Memphis, Tennessee, in a park called Auction Park, there was this solid granite stone that was encased in wrought iron. And the top of this stone was orange. You could sit on a bench and you could sit there at sunset, and when sun hit it, it would have the most beautiful glow on the top of this stone.
Mm-hmm.
Come to find out, Auction Park used to be the place of a slave pen.
Wow.
Where when that ship came in, they offloaded those slaves, and they had little cutting whips because they were property, and they didn't want to damage them with them big whips. They just had little cutting slips to make you and I's forefathers parade themselves in a certain way for this auction. And over these years, the blood off of their backs and legs ran down into this solid granite stone that
wow.
This blood soaked into this stone.
And where is
over
it located?
Them. This is in Memphis, Tennessee, where I was born and
wow.
raised, where they assassinated
listen,
Dr. Martin Luther King.
Where they assassinated, yes,
now,
sir.
As a kid,
mm-hmm.
I went and me and my crew,
okay, Mickey.
We went and found some old sticks of what we thought was dynamite.
Mm.
And we was determined to make sure that that thing was no more.
Oh, my goodness. Watch it.
Come to find out that we was doing about to hurt ourselves more
yes.
than we was hurt the stone.
Mm-hmm. Right.
I had a judge to tell me, Mr. Hall, I don't believe that. I can't find it on the internet. I went and found it, and I gave it to him.
Wow.
The stone is still there.
It's still there.
Drops of blood from human beings rested into a solid granite rock.
Right.
In America.
In America.
In America today. In
so I'm saying to you that it's offensive.
It is.
Okay. It's offensive, and everybody's entitled to their point of view.
Yes,
that's why
they
this
are.
Is
that's
the Raymond Hall Show.
And where we have
but
a different
you know
conversation.
This, when you come to the Raymond Hall Show, your view is your view, and other people have their views. I'm not going to ever rest to say it's okay for you to say that your son has more rights than my son. Your son has more, for you to imply it, for you to have a stone that says it. It ain't okay. With me.
Okay, so
okay.
You can contact us at the Raymond Hall Show at Morris Media Live, also the Raymond Hall Show at Facebook, Instagram, or Twitter for to continue this conversation because
okay.
It's a very worthy and time-worthy conversation.
Now, I think we had a text,
mm-hmm.
a caller, and what was the text?
So we have a question from the Director of Programs at Healthy African American Families, Ms. Malika Jones. And her question is, why can't the alt-right understand the pain that the Confederate represents to African American people?
Why can't they understand the pain and the hurtfulness that it represents to us? Well, that's a good question. Why can't they understand it?
Well, what is your answer? What is your answer?
My answer is they just don't want to. It's just plain simple as that. They just don't want to. They don't want to. They don't want to feel the pain. They don't want to understand it. Because and I can't make them, but all I can do is pray for them and try to do my part.
Mm-hmm. Well, that's noble. I am always thankful for Mrs. Walker. I'm serious. She means a great deal to me, and she kind of helps me stay centered because I'm an old soldier. You can run up on some folk and see, I understand it. There has never been one person that came to this earth and stayed always.
Not one.
Okay. Now, you come on down to certain neighborhoods.
Mm.
You don't need no permit. All you need is some chutzpah. You come on down to certain neighborhoods with all of that. And I bet you will get served. You will get served all of the foolishness you want. Okay, what you're trying to do is something that has long gone by. The only thing that's left of that era that's above ground is the statues that you're talking about. All of the people that you want to say are part of America, they dead.
Which is the same thing Letitia was saying. That's the same thing she's saying. It's over with. Why are we going to keep dredging up the past? Because that's what we do. We keep looking at
that. Ain't what I heard.
It's the image. That's not what you heard?
That ain't what I heard. She says leave them alone, move on, and all of that. I ain't saying leave nothing alone.
You saying you want it out of here.
I'm saying
from the Capitol building to where it is in Washington, D.C., because they're not just in the parks.
We understand that, but let me ask you this. You ladies don't remember no mule. They got rid of all of the mules. Now it's cars on the street. Y'all don't know nothing about no mule. You don't know nothing about the ice box where a man had
a
big block of axe. They got rid of that.
Okay, well, that's a good point, Mr. Hall. That's a good point.
I agree. Take it down. Life
goes on. The quality
yes,
of life goes
of life
on.
Does
you
go
can't
on.
Hold on to something
past.
That says, I have the right to put you in a subservient position.
You cannot. You cannot.
And lift that up. It's not even that they hold up, because yes, it needs to be preserved so we don't repeat our dark history.
Yes.
But it's literally a statue.
You're
monumentalizing this.
Right. Mm-hmm. And people got to look up.
Right, exactly. That's the whole purpose of why they do it. Just like when you go to court, the courtroom is set up in that same way. It's elevated. The judge is elevated, so you can look up. It's the same thing.
Right.
Well. I want to, we're coming up on the last minutes because of the technical difficulties. We're going to have a few more minutes to allot for that time. But I want to stick to the point because
yes,
there's so much here. A person died because a human being chose to run over her with hate.
But a lot of people died. You know how many African-American people died before? I understand. She died. Yes. Yes, and that's the whole point. There's been so much just hurt and pain conflicted over and over and over again.
But I'm saying
that just like Martin Luther King, like that was my trending topic for today, the letter that was released from Coretta Scott King, Dr. Martin Luther King's wife, and it was a letter that was released, and I wanted to be the trending topic, but I didn't get a chance to, you know, trend.
Well, yeah,
but the bottom line was she was talking about all the people that went before, whose shoulders we have stood on, who have died, you know, for us to get to the point that we are now. And then this latest young lady that died in her activism, in her action to stand up. And there has been so many. And when is it going to stop?
I think that right now, this is their time to stand up. We've stood up.
Right.
I think it's your time to say this ain't right. And I think that people are so afraid of equity. Like, we need equity. We don't need equality.
We need equity.
We have been so disproportionately persecuted, oppressed, yes, whatever, that yes, we are so here. That
exactly.
And people, racism and white supremacists, they're so afraid of us getting level.
Right, right, right.
Because they know if we get level, we going.
Right, and it's been going on for so long.
You got to add something else that is part of it. The other part of it is this. The other part of it is they didn't do nothing for themselves.
Mm-hmm. Right. Everything they did, you they did off do, somebody else's back.
You didn't do nothing for yourself, and mm-hmm, now you want to look and blame it on somebody
yes,
else.
Yes,
other
exactly,
people worked, and they worked hard, and they worked 2 and 3 jobs. My mother had 7 children 7 years in a row. She graduated from Lemoyne Owen University the same year that my older sister graduated from high school, that went on to be a law librarian for DePaul.
Wow. Mm-hmm.
I don't want to just put her business out there, but I'm telling you, we as a people and others have worked very hard.
Yes.
So you got a whole bunch of people that ain't did nothing about nothing, and then they had the guy with the car was in the service for 2 weeks. You don't go to service for 2 weeks. What the?
What happened? He didn't want to conform. He didn't
want
to listen.
And then you got some other kind of something that was in the Marine Corps and say he want to lead you. Man, let me tell you something. Get your check, take your meds.
Oh, get your check,
that's
take your meds.
That's my message to you. Get your check and take your meds. Because what you talking about, it ain't happening. You ain't the only soldier around here. And you ain't the only one that has had assignments around here.
Yes.
Like I said, you get the permit where you have to get a permit. But doggone it, in some places you don't have to get a permit. And you can march any time you got enough nerve to.
Did you hear that?
That's just come on down in one of these communities. We got a different conversation.
Yes, we do. Yes, we do.
Okay.
We definitely have, but we want to make
sure. You can count me a old guy, but I tell you something. It's some youngsters that understand what soldiering is about. You're wrong. I'm not going to be political. I'm not going to be anything else. I got a minute left, and I'm telling you, you're flat out wrong.
And there is
you
no
don't
excuse.
Have the right
no.
to go and put harm on somebody else because of your ignorance. You don't have the right to cause someone else harm because your understanding is void of understanding.
Mm.
Now, if you need to understand that other people have the right to live and
have
exercise
their
judgment, I ain't said nothing
yes.
about happy. Half of the time, I ain't happy, but I know I got a right to live.
Yes.
If you're that committed to it, don't get in your car and run down nobody. Get up, walk over to the biggest man you see and slap him. Get busy. Don't
get
be
busy.
No coward about
man,
it.
Right.
You don't need General Motors or Dodge or whatever that was you got in. I'm telling you, cut it out.
Cut it
Since
out.
The president won't say it, we the people saying
yes,
it.
Yes, that's what
cut
the president
it out.
Cut it out because it's not a good feeling. We don't need it. We don't want it. We've been here. And we do not want to have to go back.
Okay.
And it's not going down the way it went down last time.
There you
I just
go.
Want y'all to know
there you
that
go.
It's not
there
happening happened. Like that.
There you go.
So
from
you
Ms. Malama
bring it.
Okay. So we run out just about
yes,
out of time. So Ms. Malama, what is your last 30 few seconds? What would you like to say? And give us your contact information. Healthy African American.
Yes, I just want to say we got to unite with light. Let's promote the things that we do want to see. Let's vote on the local level. Let's get organized in our own communities because we got to SOS save ourselves.
SOS save
and
ourselves.
And you can find me at Healthy African American Families. My email is mmurphy@haafii.org. Again, that's mmurphy@haafii.org.
Okay.
And
Ms. Walker.
Yes, I'd like to say thank you to all of our listening audience and guests. Thank you to Mr. Hall for making it in and doing a wonderful job that he always does. You can contact or you can follow us at Facebook, Twitter, or Instagram at theraymondhallshow.com. To watch our show live, you can go to Morris Media Live at The Raymond Hall Show or YouTube. You can go to YouTube at The Raymond Hall Show directly to view or listen to our show.
All right. Thank you so very much for you all listening, and thank you for your patience in supporting us. American Legion Post 109 is having their meeting on the 21st of this month, starting at 6 o'clock. It's going to be at Bryant Temple AME Church. Fellowship Hall. The address is 2514 West Vernon Avenue in Los Angeles. So those of you who are veterans or those of you who want to support Veterans Affairs, again, that's at 2514 West Vernon. My name is Raymond Hall, and thank you for listening to the Raymond Hall Show, and we want to invite you to tune in again where we'll be talking about issues of the day. The only thing that I can think to say right here that may be appropriate is keep the peace.
Keep the peace.
Keep the peace.
Ta-ta. We'll see you next time.
Bye-bye.
Bye.